Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Colson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Wow, what a lead-in that is. Don was not telling me that he was going to do that. Ava was like, they were tight-lipped. Gotta love that, you guys. Vex is stepping up on board, and we get to hear our name in lights. How about that?
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
Get to hear our name in lights. Pretty darn cool. I like it. I thought the guy was going to come out with, blown dragster tractors.
Had your mic off and everything.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, imagine if you will, Spider-Man. Ah, well, it's all good. Going to have a big show. Got a lot of deer hunting coming up. Lots of conversation about that. Some accidents that you're going to want to know about and what we're going to do to prevent it. And some statistics. Fun stuff coming up as well. Hang tight, you guys. We'll be right back.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Hey, Don.
Here, ready to go.
Somebody didn't want to say anything, and it's like, jump in anytime you guys want. Dead air doesn't work when you're on radio.
Oh yeah,
we're looking at each other. Somebody's saying, what? Lots of things going on in the outdoors right now. Deer hunting.
Yep.
Lots and lots of deer hunting.
Actually, there's been a lot of people on the water.
I was just going to follow up with that. I will be one of those.
Yep.
It's looking like next week might be kind of that, getting the chill of the season on from what I'm seeing in the Midwest. Did you see the forecast next week?
I haven't actually looked at it yet, but there was, I was up pretty early the other morning and I saw some boats heading to the ramp and I looked at my temperature gauge. It was 37. I'm going, it gets chilly at that point. And it was, you know, we've had a lot of drizzle around here for the last week and wind.
So 37 wind and drizzle.
This morning it was windy and I'm going, yeah, it's not my kind of day.
I could definitely, 37 I can do, but 37 and wind and drizzle,
no.
you just upped your cold game significantly.
Yeah.
But yeah, the river's going.
That's a 1 hour fishing trip right there.
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah. Well, and I think you've got two openers, one today in Michigan, the deer opener in Michigan, and then you've got Wisconsin coming up. We'll go through some details with the Michigan opener. Michigan opened yesterday, Friday. Okay. They're kind of a different program, but nonetheless, considered it the weekend because I would say Michigan and Wisconsin, kind of the same thing. You've got everybody and their uncle goes out there. Just an observation. I don't know if you have noticed this, Ava, but Wisconsin, you have got 500,000 people going in the woods. Statistics prove it's about that. Michigan, it's the same I mean, it's a just crazy. Minnesota's not as much, but in the Minnesota Fishing Opener, it's a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of this, everybody has a different
thing. Well, South Dakota, the Pheasant Opener.
Oh, same thing.
Yeah.
Population doubles.
Speaking of that, I've heard the bird count's quite a lot better recently.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you get a mild winter.
Yep.
Which is good. They've needed that. They've needed that quite badly. Wisconsin Deer Opener, that's coming up. It's going to be opening on the 23rd of November. That's a 9-day season, and that goes through December 1st. And like I say, it's kind of that same number, just roughly a half a million, just over. It's going to be 600,000 people, I think it was, are going in the woods.
Yeah, that's possible.
Pretty crazy. But the one thing that I thought I wanted to bring up front, which will kind of set the table for some of the conversations we have later on here, there was a man on the Minnesota hunting opener, got this word from a friend of mine, girlfriend of mine up in wherever she's at, Eden Prairie.
Okay.
Yep. And what's nice is she listens to the show, so shout out to Michelle.
Oh.
She actually provided me with, she's watching out for topics, which is kind of cool.
Oh, great.
But the detail came in right away, and the 34-year-old man was shot while hunting in Minnesota. He has died, unfortunately. They didn't have a lot of detail what the circumstances were. They have not related that, but he did die of a gunshot wound to the head. And very unfortunate. There was another individual that was shot. But he is okay, non-life-threatening injuries.
I've seen a photo of the area that this individual was in, and I think, I'm speculating, of course, but it was an open field. There was quite an open field, and my curiosity is I wonder if it shot across the field.
It's a shotgun-only zone, though.
Oh, I thought it was a rifle zone.
Well, that's in the report that I saw. I haven't looked at the actual report.
Well, in either case, even if you're shooting, if it's only 100 yards across a field and you don't see somebody in the woods on the other side and you miss, that slug can certainly carry.
Yeah, it can. This is not to contradict that, but as you know, you get about a certain distance, that slug drops pretty quick. Its trajectory is pretty difficult. So I'm wondering if it wasn't an accident.
Oh, I'm sure it was an accident.
Shooting at an animal type scenario. Oh. Or it was heavy brush and it was not paying attention. But I think there's a lot of things that come up with whether it's, and we'll talk about it later in the show, a lot of the what goes on with the accidents and injuries. But, we will be coming back. We're going to talk a little bit about, first, before we get into that, we're going to talk a little bit about Michigan, what's coming up, what to look for in the Michigan opener, and what's going on there. And then we'll jump into some accident statistics and how to make safe when you're in the outdoors. Stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Well, as always, like to have you guys check us out. Where, Donald?
The Valley Outdoors.
Ava, where else?
And Facebook.
You got it. We're going to have tons of stuff out there. Always do on the valleyoutdoors.com. Hit that button, and then on Facebook, hit that like button as well. We were setting the table earlier at the top of the show, and we were talking about the Michigan firearm deer season opening on Friday. And this is the fifth period this fall during which hunters can take a deer. An additional five seasons take place into 2025, allowing hunters to take antlerless deer using such things as muzzle loaders, etc. And officials hoping that hunters choose to take more does this year as the state's deer population swells, as they're maybe as many as 2 million deer in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of dents and fenders if they don't take some.
Broken grills, yep. Everything else, accidents. So that can be an issue. Opening starts at 6:54 in eastern Michigan. For this western portion of Michigan, opens 18 minutes later. How about that?
I'm surprised it's that much difference.
I know. That's a wide state.
Evidently.
How far from buildings should I hunt? They say 150 to 400 or 450 from buildings. Stay 150 yards or 450 feet from buildings. What other cool little things about Michigan? Kind of like the fact sheet. It's kind of cool. Let's see.
How do they rank in the Boone and Crockett and things of that nature? Any idea? Do you know where the number one county is in the nation?
Buffalo, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Buffalo County. Southwestern Wisconsin.
Just about 25 miles from where we're sitting.
The only thing that I think is a problem right now is the fact that Wisconsin has significant disease.
CWD?
Yeah, CWD disease. And they're on many of these counties, they are not requiring reporting. We've done a bunch of stories on it. I think you remember some of the stories we've done, but they're not requiring reporting on it. So, and that's, I believe, one of the counties that they haven't required reporting. I want to do some research on that because I find that a lot of times they don't want to give it a negative impact from press.
An impression.
Yep. The optics are kind of everything with trophy areas, and there's a lot of trophy ranches / farms down there that are getting that. So I need to look into it, but there's a lot of places that they decided not to because it's becoming a major epidemic situation in Wisconsin. That's what they were talking about, doing away with the doe season completely. And big challenge. So question, Don, in Michigan, can you harvest an albino or piebald deer? Is it legal to do so?
Sure.
It is. Well, as long as you follow the regulations. How much is a deer license in Michigan? Non-resident deer license, how much is that?
Non-resident?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea, but probably $200.
Yeah, $190.
Just a guess.
17 to 64-year-olds, if you're a single deer license and you're in a local, 20 or 76 if you want to fish as well. And senior citizens are $8 or 43 if you want to do the same, if you want to hunt and fish. Comes up, says, do you need a license to hunt? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. If you're born on or after January 1st, 1960, you must present your hunter safety certificate or previous hunting licenses other than apprentice license to purchase a license.
Do they allow baiting in Michigan?
No.
In Wisconsin?
No.
South Dakota?
That I don't know.
Okay.
Wisconsin was a big issue because of that exact thing, CWD.
Right.
Remember the one guy? He got tired of all the animals coming and eating the feed he had for the deer. So somebody had leased land and they put rat poison to kill those. And then the deer ended up eating them and they had dead deer.
Oh, no, I hadn't heard that
one. Yeah, and then the guy that actually owned the land had the DNR come over and say, do you know you're feeding deer rat poison? And the guy's like, that's leased.
Oh, my.
As the saying goes, and that's least of which.
Yeah.
Not good. So, well, best of all to everyone out in Michigan. I hope you guys are safe and...
play it safe.
Always play it safe. And we'll jump into some of those statistics, Donna. I would say shocking, some of them are, but surprising, I think, is the better way to put it.
And these statistics are from where?
All over. This is a hunting period.
Okay.
Any of the hunting accidents that we look at.
Gotcha.
And of course, we're looking in this case of deer is the primary scenario. Injuries from deer stands, tree stands, accidents, because I have to make sure deer stand because you've been a ground blind before. Ava, do you have a ground blind or you're in a tree?
I am in an elevated deer stand, so it's got steps.
Okay,
I'm
so
like
you're up
7 feet.
Well, you're not a ground blind. Yep.
Right.
Okay. So injuries from tree stand accidents far outweigh the number of firearm-related incidents. Falls from 10 to 30 feet high can be fatal or disabling, which is why hunter education programs emphasize necessity of using proper safety gear, which we highlighted last week. Please strap that thing onto the tree, lock it in, get it done. That's a huge deal.
Pull your gear up afterwards.
Pull the rifle.
Yep.
Well,
or
it could be bow. It's just either one. It can be as cumbersome as the other. So definitely an important scenario. Fatal hunting accident statistics. This is kind of a different way to look at it. But lifetime odds of death for selected causes. This is up to 2020. Heart disease, 1 in 6. Motor vehicle, 1 in 101. Motorcyclist, 1 in 800. Choking on food, 1 in 2,745. Accidental discharge of a firearm, 1 in 8,000. That's the odds, which is basically...
That's pretty good.
That's why I don't walk very far to my deer stand.
There is that.
Don knows his limitations.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
Well, the number one thing you had there was...
Hey, you know that the part that's sad is, it's not the part about getting to your stand, Don. It's when people shoot a deer, they're not in shape, and they don't try and pull it out, drag it out. That's when there's a lot of issues that come up.
Yeah, you can have cardiac arrest trying to pull one of those.
Same with snow
out.
Shoveling. It's the same kind of thing. The International Hunting, et cetera, IHEA reports that fewer than 100 hunters die yearly from firearm accidents. Education programs and firearm safety have a significant role in bringing accidental fatalities down by 42% over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. So pretty significant. A study found that 300 to 500 hunters in the U.S. die in tree stand accidents annually and 6,000 sustain injuries from falls. That's why that safety that we keep talking about, you guys, that's the part that's really the problem. It can happen if your stand maybe a year, two, 3 years old and it was wood. Don't trust that. You can't just go up to the stand, climb in it, and assume it's good. The wood could be rotten. You could have had red squirrels chewing in it like they do in my yard all the time, which I'm tired of. But they can destroy a stand, believe it or not, make it weak. Whatever the case is, just understand that those deer stand deaths and falls are not good. Some pretty telling numbers. There's quite a few different numbers as far as hunting goes, but they said that 1.8 million emergency department visits for firearm-related injuries from 1993 to 2008, only 1.95% were hunting injuries. 1.8 million emergency department visits for firearm-related injuries, only 1.95% were hunting-related.
Right.
The mortality rate for hunters, 0.6%. Non-hunter firearm injuries, 5.3%. So just off the chart difference because
you use them.
Yeah. It's
familiarity and.
But again, accidents are where they can happen, which is the unfortunate part when you look at, prime example, the gentleman that was shot. Let's see if I have that story here. Or that died. We don't know exactly what caused it, but I'll try and find it. Is it there?
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, no, it's not. Oh, there you go. Yeah, so in this particular case, in the state of Minnesota, 7 hunting-related shootings in the injuries in statewide through November 5th. Pheasant hunter lost his balance, shot himself in the foot.
Sorry. I was waiting for somebody to say a joke or something about that. Because that would be it's shooting yourself in the foot, really.
Yeah. If you're going to shoot yourself somewhere.
Best place to get shot, yeah.
Bird hunter turned to shoot and shot a fellow hunter.
Actually, that happens quite frequently in South Dakota.
It is because you're running with eight guys on a drive
or
in
13.
The field.
Yeah.
Hunter shot self, messing around with their hand over the barrel of a shotgun.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You can't fix stupid when that comes to
no,
play.
Well, no, that's covered in the hunter safety program. That's not the place for your hand, ever.
It's not?
No.
No? Like you're not going to stop
Never.
The... You're not going to...
It's like looking over the mortar of a fireworks, you know? I wonder what comes out of that barrel.
Here's one that I find to be... blows my mind. Hunter heard movement, turned, and shot fellow hunter in both legs.
I'm trying to picture that one.
Well, you could hear a sound behind you.
So you turn and shoot? That's not...
You've watched pheasant hunting shows, and you watch them walking through the field, and depending upon the direction of the wind, I just watched one on this last weekend, bird gets up and goes over the top of your head.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody, you know, swings, and our friend Mike was ducking like he always does.
We hunted it. Yep, I know.
You know, and that, I say that is probably one of the most unsafe things. You know, it's just a bird. If it flies behind you, let it go. Because you're, no matter what you're doing, you're swinging that shotgun.
The one thing that we would do, if from my side of it, because I'd be with Mike a lot of times and try and shoot back up for everybody. If that happened, I wouldn't raise my shot. I'd see what was going on. I'd leave my shotgun down and then bring it up when I turned around. I wouldn't even have it up. I didn't need to.
Well, this particular case, the wind was like about 30 mile an hour.
Oh, I know. They get out of range quick.
There were a lot of shots, but nothing falling out of the air.
No birds, yeah. No. Lots of lead lost.
Yep.
Here's another one. Hunter stumbles and shoots a fellow angler in the calf.
I can see that happening.
Now, if you hear movement and turning and shooting, odds are you're turning with your finger on the trigger.
You shouldn't be.
With no safety. This other one, hunter stumbled and shot a fellow hunter.
Should have had it on safety.
Again, you're shooting without, or you're operating that without a safety. Same thing, pheasant hunter lost balance, shot himself in the foot. Again, it comes down to stupid things that cause permanent issue, and it's frustrating. It's
did he lose any toes?
Don't know. He shot him in the calf.
Oh, calf.
Yeah. Now the other guy shot in the foot. I don't know.
I don't know how you wouldn't.
I can't answer that question. So anyway, so the point really becomes: be careful. Just flat out, be careful. So you actually have a lower injury hunting than you do basketball, football, and cycling.
Well, it's like you say, most hunters are well trained.
Yeah.
Most are.
That's why the numbers are down.
Yeah.
Let's move to a positive story, shall we? We've got a story coming out of Michigan where a teen broke her mom's Michigan State record bear 26 years later.
Oh,
wow.
Is that cool or what?
How big was it?
Well, we're just going to tell you that. Twist of fate and luck, 15-year-old girl from Grayling set a new Michigan record for black bear among females with a bow and arrow category this last fall. She shot the bear that she shot eclipsed one of her mother's that was shot 26 years ago that's been in a record book ever since. She was wearing the same camo outfit her mother did when she shot the state record bear. On top of that, the mom was responsible for enabling her daughter to get the bear tag for the Red Oak Bear Management Unit, the Lower Peninsula of Michigan, so she could get that record bear. It takes more than 10 preference points to obtain a bear tag for the Red Oak, and this mom had 12. So she just got it done. When she was drawn for the bear license, she transferred her drawing success to her daughter. That's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
A really cool story. The DNR has a system. If anybody doesn't know, the system allows anyone who is successful in a bear drawing to transfer their success to a person of their choosing or someone on the DNR list of disabled hunters waiting for the opportunity to hunt. Both Autumn's parents are avid hunters. It's no surprise their daughter has developed into an intense interest in the activity. Worthy of note that the female members of the Pratt family are not the only ones with record book bears to their credit. The father has two bears in state records, and pretty crazy,
keep,
huh?
Keep in mind, I mean, she had to start buying those preference points when she was 3 years old.
Yeah.
She was 15 when she got it.
Yeah. But, and she did it with a bow, which
you
is super cool.
You still haven't told me how big the bear was.
I was going to say the bow.
The bear is actually a enter for archery kills, a typical angler saying. State record is 100. The two, she taught two bucks. I'm working to the story, guys. Work with me here. Don's going to give me grief on this one. The bear dressed out at 330 pounds and has skull measurement at 209 and 16 inches. Mother's bear was 15 and 16, so was much older and heavier. So dressed weight of 343, but it was bigger. The head measurement was bigger. So how do you like them apples? Pretty cool. But anyway, so what do you think, Don? Cool story to wrap
it
up, though.
Very cool story, yep.
Wishing everybody a really good and safe season coming up as you head out into the woods. So I hope you guys enjoy. Thanks much. And we will be here next week. See you, bye.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.